It's time to pony up to the table and hear all of what's going on in the county, where it all comes together. The County Grapevine, a 99.3 County FM, the voice of the county.
And welcome to the Tuesday edition of the County Grapevine. My name is Suzanne O'Connor. With me, of course, Mr. McQueen. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm just doing great today.
Good.
I'm all ready for my test. I'm doing great.
Are you?
Yeah.
Now, we neither one of us studied, right?
No, I didn't study. I didn't look anything up. I'm relying on my wits and and my ability to bluff my way through.
And your wittiness.
Yes.
Yeah, this makes good radio. Awesome. All right, so that is going to be segment one. But what's on the rest of the show? Oh, and I guess I didn't even really allude to what the test is about. So we'll let you take it all, Dave.
All right. Let's talk about what's going to be on later in the show, and then we'll come back to our test. So, Canada Day is tomorrow, and according to experts, the risk of losing your pet is higher that day than on any other day in the year. The main reason is fireworks. Pets can try to escape or hide and can end up lost. County dog trainer Tasha Shaw-Verbeek is back with us today to talk about how to recognize firework-related anxiety in your pets, what to do to prevent it, and how to keep your dog safe, calm, and secure throughout the pyrotechnics. And our regular guests, James and V. Wu, are back. Today, we're going to be talking about LGBTQ2S+ history. They'll highlight some of the important milestones, talk about a few of the key figures involved in those events, and discuss how they influence the evolution of the LGBTQ2S+ community. We'll also learn how the past has shaped the future of the LGBTQ2S+ community and what tomorrow might bring. But first, it's summer vacation time, and that means boating for many Canadians and for many residents of the county. But you know the rules of the waterways and how to keep yourself safe. Well, Suzanne and I are going to find out how much we know today. OPP Constable Alex LaBelle is in the studio with us to test our watercraft safety knowledge. Thanks for joining us today, Alex.
No, thank you for having me today.
All right. So actually, let's have some fun with your title. You are the CEO at the OPP here in the Picton Detachment.
The big CEO, so the Community Engagement Officer. Yeah.
That is great that that's the acronym. I'll always remember that. All right. So you've got some questions for us. And so we're going to be talking about this because it's very important right now as we talk about how tourism is obviously very busy right now, and it will be until September, the end of September. And we talk about how the waterways obviously get populated as well with all the different kinds of watercraft. So should we maybe first talk about the different kinds of watercraft? So we're talking about boats, we're talking about speedboats, we're talking about kayaks and canoes. Is there anything left? There's dinghies.
Paddle boards, floating mattresses if you want, or floaties, the ones that you buy off of like the online websites. There's tons of them, canoes, kayaks. Bunch of vessels.
I gotta admit, I didn't know. I'm already in trouble here. I didn't know paddle boards were covered. That those are considered watercraft. It's obvious when you mention it, but I didn't think of it.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah, and I guess there's a difference between a paddle board and a surfboard, but they look really the same, right?
They look really the same. It's just how you use them.
Okay, so they are the same. It's how you use them.
Don't want to get too ahead, but there's a few questions about that, too.
Uh-oh.
Okay, all right, so... All right, Alex, hit us with question one, please.
Okay, I'm going to start off easy. Is it true or false? You only need to have a life jacket on board. You don't need to wear it. True or false?
Wrong. False. You have to wear it.
It's true by law.
Oh, I failed one.
Yeah, so it's true. So you don't have to wear your life jacket. You just have to have it on board. But obviously, it only saves you if you're wearing it. Rules kind of changed. So for a personal watercraft, like a Sea-Doo, you have to wear it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So what about the paddle boards, canoes, that kind of thing? Is that going to change? Or
You don't have to wear it, but you have to have it with you.
Have to have it with you.
Yeah. Can I have like 10 minutes to think about each one?
Sure. Yeah, let's take some time.
That would be appreciated. Okay. Next one, shoot that one over. Shoot number two to Dave.
Well, this one's a multiple choice, so you're in trouble. What's the most common factor in boating fatalities? A, the weather. B, speed. or C, not wearing a life jacket?
I'm after the previous question, I'm going to say C.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
We got C, one.
Not wearing a life jacket. So on several occasions, occupants actually had a life jacket on board, but weren't wearing it. So I already struggle putting on a life jacket on land. So imagine if you're in the water in distress and you're trying to swim and wear your life jacket. So it's better to wear it than to not to.
Okay, right. It does make sense. Because, I mean, if people are getting nervous with a live mic, mm-hmm. then imagine what we're doing when emergency hits.
The boat is sinking.
Yes. Right. Or your children are at risk or something. Yeah. You get into panic. Okay. Number three.
Do you need a license to drive a motorized boat? A, no. B, yes, for all motorized boats. Or C, only for vessels 6 meters and up.
Okay, well, I don't know about all those details, but I know that you need a boater's license to operate the boat.
You're right. Yeah, so B, yeah, you do need a pleasure craft operator card to operate any vessel.
Okay, now I got to confess. So, Dave, I've listened to these tests for like 6 years with Dave and Phil doing them. And then I can't remember what we did last year, but I think we did something similar. So that's a little bit why I remember some of this.
Well, you know, I'm impressed. Yeah. I was going to answer that study. One wrong, too. I mean, I have a pleasure craft license, but I thought, oh, no, you don't actually have to have that. But I guess you do.
Yeah, so if it has a motor, you need a car.
And that's does that apply if you're, like, renting a boat? Do you have any?
Renting is kind of a little different. There's contracts which cover you, so you might not actually need to have a license to operate a vessel if you are renting.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, Dave and I, we're taking this very lightheartedly, and it's mainly because I think we represent, you know, a lot of people walking the street regarding what people actually do know about watercraft safety and the rules and regulations. So I think that's why we're making light of this, but at the same time, obviously, it's pretty serious stuff mm-hmm. if an emergency does arise. So I just want to, you know, have that said. All right, so we'll continue to laugh. Number five.
Number five is a multiple choice. You see a red and green light on another boat. What are they trying to tell you? A, it's anchored. B, it's moving towards you. Or C, it's turning left.
I know this one. They're moving towards you.
Oh, that's right. B, so it's heading towards you. So the red is on the left side and the green is on the right side. So it's the same idea as traffic lights to avoid collisions. So if you see both red and green lights, then it means that it's heading directly towards you.
Yep. I didn't remember that
that's
one.
Really
maybe,
good.
Maybe because that's a pretty important one to remember.
Okay, did not know that. Yeah. Okay, so green means they're moving towards you. Red means they are turning.
So the boat is split into half, the left side and the right side. So on the right, left side is red. There's a little red indicator light in front of the vessel. And then on the right side, there's a green light indicator. So if you see both red and green, that means that the boat is coming towards you.
And that's every kind of boat? Like, I don't see that on a canoe, right?
No, obviously not a canoe, but...
Anything with a motor.
Yeah, motor, or that's operated after sunset. So when it's dark out, then you need to have those indicator lights.
Okay, great.
I don't know if this is a question, but I seem to remember that the thing to remember is you pass green to green. So if it's coming towards you, you head towards the green side, he'll see your green light, you'll see his green light. If you go the other way, you're passing the wrong way.
I wouldn't be able to clarify that question. That's a good question. I haven't studied, obviously, not enough.
But. I just seem to remember that was... It's kind of a rule of thumb is that, you know, if it's the red light, you don't pass on that side, you pass on the green side.
Okay, cool. Yeah. All right, we'll look into that. Okay, is this the last one?
No, so this is question number six.
Okay.
It's a true or false. Cold water isn't really dangerous in the summer because it's warm out.
Interesting. I would say that it can still be dangerous. It depends where the water is, because I think it starts getting hot around August or September.
And when I think about it, you know, if you're out in the middle of the lake, there's a little bit of warm water at the top, but then it's pretty cold underneath.
Yeah, so it's false. The cold water shock can happen even on a hot day. So you can lose muscle strength and coordination in cold water pretty quickly, even before you feel the cold.
Yeah. Okay, wow, that is a really good reminder.
Another good reason to have a life jacket on.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, because you're going to lose that strength and ability.
Fine motor skills to clip on the life jacket. And
yeah.
Okay, yeah. Right. Okay, brilliant. All right, number seven, last
and
one.
The last one. I had fun with this one. So it's a multiple choice. Suzanne and David are out drifting at sandbanks on a giant inflatable swan.
I have a question. Do our partners know?
Oh, I don't know about this one.
And who saw us?
And David grabs a paddle to steer further out. Are they just floating, or are they now considered a vessel?
Huh.
Question.
Can you ask that again?
Yeah, sure. This is a tricky question.
So you and David are out drifting at sandbanks on a giant inflatable swan. So David reaches out for a paddle just to move a little bit further out in the water. Are you guys technically still just floating, or are you guys now considered a vessel?
Because of the fact that he's reaching out on the water for an oar. I have no idea, Dave.
It sounds like maybe you're a vessel because you're now paddling.
Oh.
And maybe then you got to have all the requirements of a vessel. Is that the case?
Yeah, so once you start steering or using it to travel, then it can be treated as a vessel.
Huh. Same with a sail, like if you...
Yeah, so as soon as you travel, use it to travel, and that you can steer it, then it becomes a vessel. So your giant inflatable swan at sandbanks is now a vessel.
And we need all those things that you need.
And then you need everything. Yeah, so it's considered a human-powered boat, which basically means you need to have the basic safety gear.
Which,
so like
which is what it would be.
Okay.
So like a life jacket, buoyant heavy line, sound signaling device, and then a bailer or a manual bilge pump.
Now, how often do you actually see people on the waters here surrounding Prince Edward County where they are using something like that as a vessel?
It happens often, especially in sandbanks. I know this year the park superintendent is really strong on not encouraging park visitors to attend with big floaties. Lake Ontario is very unpredictable, and winds can kind of sweep them out super far in Lake Ontario, and it doesn't take much. It just takes like a wave or even just a little pin-sized hole in your giant inflatable, and then all of a sudden you're out in the water.
Right, of course. Yeah, it's all these things that you don't think about. Yeah, especially when you're having fun with friends or whatever, you know, we're this is really, really great.
Mm-hmm. So no more giant inflatable swan.
Okay, Dave?
I'll put it away.
This has been so good. Really, really appreciate these reminders.
Yeah, I'm surprised that I didn't do better, actually, on the testing, because there were several things there that I didn't realize. But some of them are common sense, you know, but I didn't realize that they applied. And I guess that's the thing to most people is, you need to make sure you're up on those regulations. I presume we could be fined or...
Oh, yeah, the fines are pretty heavy, and it all depends on what the offense is. But, like, most of these things are very simple.
Yeah.
But they do make a big difference.
And of course, they all pertain to keeping yourself safe as well.
Number one priority. Yeah.
And I would also think, you know, people like myself were, you know, I'm looking at this light that you were talking about that has the red on one side and green on the other, the left versus the right. And I guess I just never thought about what that is and have I noticed the different colors at night. So it's one of those things where you ask yourself a question in your head the first moment, but then it doesn't go past that. So, so really, really appreciate all these details very much.
Well, No worries.
That's great. Yeah, thank you very much.
All right. So waiting in the wings, we have James and V. Wu. We're going to be talking about historical moments and historical figures that help shape the LGBTQ plus and two-spirited community. So that's right after this.